as a nursing father. Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 to 15. A baby cries for its needs without let up until its needs are met. Such is the helpless state of babies. Whether it is a wet diaper or a hungering and growling tummy, the baby, as it were, instinctively sound out its discomfort and distress without a thought for the mother, for the need to be met immediately. By the sound of the baby's cry, the mother realizes that the need is urgent and acute. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 49, verse 15, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." The mother's instinctive love to suckle the babe of her womb in its time of need is often regardless whether the mother is just dozing off for a lack of sleep or is at a distance hearing the baby crying, flies to its side. That is how God cared for Israel while they were in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 1 verse 31 says, "And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went, until ye came to this place." At no time the Lord, our Heavenly Father, was not aware of the cries of the children of Israel, and thus our cries. Do you realize that God cares for us? Because He is the one who makes us, He is the one who sustains us. Are we aware that our cries are heard at the heavenly places, and that God does respond to the needs of His people? Israel was a young people, yet to receive nationhood, a people, a law, and a land. They were en route to the promised land, but not there yet. The analogy of the baby describes the state of the nation. In her infancy, Moses pleaded with God to help his people. Moses said, "Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers?" The description of the nation's infancy, requiring the nursing care of the father, is alluded here by Moses. So the first thought, carry them in thy bosom. That's what the nursing father would do for the sucking child. Verse 12 says, "Have I conceived these people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers?" The tender care of the shepherd for its lamb is another imagery the Lord illustrates through the prophet Isaiah to demonstrate his care for his people. The shepherd gathers the little lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are young. Isaiah 40 verse 11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead them that are young." When Israel entered the promised land, he raised up David, his servant, to feed them and shepherd them. Ezekiel 34 verse 23 says, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." So you see the imagery of God's care for his people is well illustrated in the scriptures. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his only begotten Son into the world to be a sacrifice to redeem them unto himself. John 10 verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. God called the Apostle Paul to gather Christ's flock and to tenderly care for the flock he purchased with his own blood. So Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Here is a picture of tender, loving care. The children of Israel cried, who shall give us flesh to eat? That's in verse 4. Triggered by the Egyptians who were in their company, it infected the children of Israel to recall their time in Egypt, albeit perhaps untrue, for those years when they were carrying heavy burdens for Pharaoh to build his cities after the death of Joseph and those who remembered his contribution to Egypt. So they said, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. If you recall the historical account for the facts, Exodus chapter 1 verse 5 to 22 gives us this background. What happened to Israel before they were out there in the wilderness? And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. There was a time when the children of Israel multiplied and grew in the land of Goshen, till, verse 8, now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. So there was a change there in Egypt while they were multiplying. Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it came to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. So get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. They built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses. The Pharaoh, we saw, began to afflict them so that their lives became unbearable. To remember the good life in Egypt was just not a rightful assessment of their plight. They were subjected to hard bondage, even infanticide. Right? Pharaoh wanted to kill all the babies, you recall. Verse 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor and made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiprah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwife feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. God preserved the infants that were born through the courageous Hebrew midwives who saved the babies that were born, that Pharaoh ordered to be thrown into the river now to feed, as it were, the crocodiles. God kept and preserved these little ones. And now, in the wilderness, having left Egypt at the behest of Moses. So this is a little bit of the background, why they leave and how life was tough for them in Egypt. There was a tinge of regret in the hearts of the children of Israel as they reflected upon the delicacies of Egypt that they once could enjoy. Now that they are in the wilderness, there was no, as it were, proper food. When the tempter came to Jesus, after he was enhungered in the wilderness, having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus obeyed the Father rather than fall into diverse lusts. He defeated the tempter pointedly with these words. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The children of Israel were taught this important lesson: to do the will of the Father, to rely upon the Father's supply. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 says, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So our life is sustained by doing the will of God. Our lives is preserved when we are in the line of the purpose of God, and not otherwise. The devil would tempt his people to do otherwise. The devil tempted Jesus, just as the mixed multitude tempted the children of Israel in the wilderness to think of the fish which they did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. What is wrong with, is there anything wrong with wanting to eat garlic and melon and fish and cucumbers? Well, nothing wrong. But it was not in the will of God, you see. William MacDonald observed well. He says, our Lord's example teaches us that we don't have to live, but we have to obey God. You see that? Getting bread is not the most important thing in life. Obedience to every word of God is. Since Jesus had received no instruction from the Father to turn stones into bread, he would not act on his own and thus obey Satan, no matter how intense his anger, his hunger. So you see here how important it is that the people of God learn to trust God and do his will, whatever the test may be, right? To know the will of God and to walk in the will of God. That's the most important thing. Not otherwise. Will God not care for us? Yes, he cares for us. But is it for in the will of God? Is it for his glory for you to live like that? God wants you to to know that He cares for you, and His care for you is, well, more than how you may know how to care for yourself. And the Lord wants us to understand it, and understand it very well. The Lord provided the children of Israel with manna, which, what we said, is the food of obedience that will nourish them in the wilderness. That's what God would supply to nourish them. And the manna was as coriander seed, verse 7 says, and the color thereof as the color of vellum. And the people went about and gathered them and ground it in mills, or beat it in the mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. How often the believer would not partake of the manna that God provides, but succumb to the temptation of the evil one to crave for something out of the will of God that is good in his own eyes. The green pasture that the shepherd prepared for the sheep was, as it were, rejected. Rejected. We don't like the sermon, don't like the message. This, that. And it is a most unbecoming behavior, because that was the best pasture that is prepared painstakingly after much searching to best nourish his little ones. Will the father not give the best for his flock? Why were they dissatisfied? It was the sin of disobedience. The sin of disobedience. You see, when God cares for us, we need to learn how important it is that His care for us is just perfect. Perfect. And we don't need to think outside that we can care for ourselves better than His goodwill and His glory for our lives. This was the first sin that Adam and Eve committed that threw them out of the paradise in Eden. The same sin of disobedience that the children of Israel will suffer for not obeying the Lord's command to march into the promised land. Genesis 3, verse 4 to 6, the serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree that is desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat. It was that same sin of disobedience that Adam and Eve transgressed when they rebelled against the Heavenly Father that day in the garden. How many types of fruits were there in the garden? Durian, mango, pineapple, watermelon, tomato, potato, you know, all the fruits that we can think of in the garden, right? All the fruits that we can think of that are good and juicy, that God has provided for them, they are to eat, and they come in abundance. Are they not satisfied with that? And why are they going to that tree that the Lord said don't eat? That was the test. Will we be willing to trust God and His care for us, for His children, and willing to obey the Father and to be under His care, is the thought here. God's care is the best. Why did Adam and Eve sought for food outside what God has already provided for them in the garden, which is ample variety and abundance? Why can't they see? Why can't we see? Why do we go after the idols? Why do we go after those things that are outside? Why can't we see? Why can't the children of Israel see? Right? Notwithstanding their weeping, the next thought, verse 10 and verse 13, it says, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. Every man in the door of his tent, whence should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me. Give us flesh that we may eat. God condescended to the weeping of the children of Israel. He would give them flesh to eat to their full, though the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Numbers 11 verse 18 to 20 tells us, and say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. And ye shall not eat one day, or, nor two, nor five, neither 10, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils. It will be loathsome unto you, because ye have despised the Lord. That was what it amounts to. Right? The Lord explained to them and helped them to see the condition of their heart, right? That they despise the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him. So, you know, like a baby, right? Weeping. Why came we forth out of Egypt? The word despise, or the word rejected, is the word rejected. They rejected the Lord and his care for them. Adam and Eve rejected God's care for them. God said to them, in the day that ye shall eat of it, thou shalt surely die. To die ye shall die. If we would move out of God's care, if we would be disobedient, if we choose to go our own way, it cannot be stopped. They thought they knew better. Notwithstanding, God condescended to hear their weeping and accede to their request. The same happened when the children of Israel asked for a king, so that they would be like the nations around them. They rejected God's reign over them. From a theocracy, Israel would degenerate to a monarchy. 1 Samuel 8 verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. They have not rejected Moses, but they have rejected the Lord, that I should not reign over them. God told Israel the consequence of having a king to lead them. But the people insisted to be like the fallen nations around them. 1 Samuel 8, verse 8 to 22. The Lord said to them, and according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now, therefore, hearken unto their voice. The Lord said, hearken to their voice. Let them have their way. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, God said to Samuel, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this shall be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots, and he shall appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties, and will set them to hear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of the chariots, and he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers, and he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. God acceded to their request, but sent leanness to their soul. The psalmist pleaded for God's mercy upon his people, plagued with that same sin of rejecting God's care for them in Psalm 106, verse 4 to 15. Remember me, O Lord, the psalmist says, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuilt the Red Sea also. It was dried up, so he led them through the depths, as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated him, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, and the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lasted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the wilderness. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. God, Israel had to grow and learn. God allowed them their request. Though they would not wait upon God to do his will, they were hot to have their own. When the most suited and pleasant food were found them in abundance, it did not please them long. But they grew dainty and sniffed at angels' food, and must needs have flesh to eat, which was unhealthy diet for that warm climate and for their easy life. This desire of theirs they dealt upon till it became mania with them, and like a wild horse carried away its rider, for the meal of the meat they were ready to curse their God and renounce the land which floweth with milk and honey. Spurgeon says, what a wonder that the Lord did not take them at their word. It is plain that they vexed him greatly. It embittered all. The meat was poison to them when it came without a blessing. Whatever it might do in fattening the body, it was poor stuff when it made the soul lean. Is it not so also for the children of God today? How they sought the fish and the leeks and the onions when God has supplied them the best food for them. We often reject God's will and sought their own to our own hurt. If we must know scantiness, may God grant it may not be scantiness of the soul. Yet this is a common attendant among worldly prosperity. When wealth grows with many a man, his worldly estate is fatter, but his soul state is leaner. To gain silver and lose gold is a poor increase. But to win for the body and lose for the soul is far worse. How earnestly might Israel have unprayed her prayers had she known she would come, what would come with their answer. The prayers of lust will have to be swept over. We fret and fume till we have our desire. And then we have to fret still, note, because the attainment of it ends in bitter disappointment. The treasury of David. So in conclusion, we say, God allows his people by his permissible will to taste their own ways, and their souls become leaner. Let us be willing to trust God and be grateful and satisfied with what he has given us in his perfect care for us, rather than sought our own, which we say, alas, does not satisfy. May God's people be the wiser to choose the courts of the Lord, as the psalmist says in Psalm 84, verse 10, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." May the Lord strengthen his people to thrive under his care rather than strive against his goodwill. May the Lord be merciful upon his people. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy grace. Strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit. Lead and guide us to know thy perfect will, and grant us thy grace to do so in obedience for thy own honor and glory. Strengthen thy people. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.